Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this opportunity to gather back in your house and be able to open your word once again. Please be with us as we dig into the scriptures here and study the last day's prophecies. Help us to understand the importance of knowing it so we can share it with others to let them know that the signs are around us. We know it can't be much longer until you come back. We thank you so much for the opportunity. Please let all of us receive so much that it overflows into everywhere that we go the rest of this week. We thank you as we pray in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen. Continuing our last day's prophecy studies, on our chart that we have there, we're down to number 10 on this. This one's speaking of the two witnesses. Now, in the timeline of the way this is unfolding, the two witnesses actually come upon the scene at the beginning of the tribulation time. We have a reference here to them being killed at the midpoint, but they've already done a great work up to that point. In Revelation chapter 11, in verse 7, we see here where it says, "And when they shall have finished their testimony," and these he's speaking of are the two witnesses, "and when they have finish their testimony, the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them and shall overcome them and kill them. And their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. And they of the people and kindreds and tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies 3 days and a half, and shall not suffer their bodies to be put in graves. And they that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them and make merry, and shall send gifts one to another, because these two prophets tormented them that dwelt on the earth. And after 3 days and a half, the Spirit of life from God entered into them, and they stood upon their feet, and great fear fell upon them which saw them. And they heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, Come up hither. And they ascended up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them. And the same hour was there a great earthquake, and the tenth part of the city fell. And in the earthquake were slain of men 7,000, and the remnant were affrighted and gave glory to the God of heaven. Back it on up here in Revelation 11, verse 1. And it was given me a reed like unto a rod, and the angel stood, saying, Rise and measure the temple of God and the altar and them that worship therein. But the court which is without the temple, leave out and measure it not, for it is given unto the Gentiles, and the holy city shall they tread upon underfoot 42 months, and I will give power unto my two witnesses. That is the beginning of the tribulation, that this occurs, that this event where they have been given this power. And then at the midpoint where we picked it up down in verse 7 is where they get killed. Now, so all this time, the first 3.5 years, these two witnesses have been doing a great work and have been given great power. And even the beginning of some of the judgments that was coming upon people began through their work. So in their accomplishments, they have reached those 144,000 that were sealed, that we read about, and countless others that have come to know the Lord because of their work, indirectly and directly. But they were there in Jerusalem. Now, one of the interesting events here is that once they are killed, well, they are killed by the Antichrist, once they are killed, that in verse 9, and they of the people and kindreds and tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies 3 days and a half. The entire world will actually be able to see this, and as we know with today's technology, it would be very easy to be able to send that message or that image around the world. With the current technologies of even the cell phones and so forth, of being able to send instant messages. And that's why that they all are celebrating, those that are Antichrist, those that are against what the Lord wants them to do, those that are against what the work of these two witnesses was doing. They will rejoice in that, where it says, and actually give gifts one to another, because they were tormented by these two. Such torment as it said in verse 5, and if any man will hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouth and devoureth their enemies, and if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. So up to the point when it was designated that they were to be killed, they were able to defend themselves to the extreme. But there was an appointed time for them to die, which is one of the reasons why many think that these two witnesses are going to be Enoch and Elijah, because Enoch and Elijah are two that have been raptured up that never died. And it says, is it appointed a man wants to die, but after this the judgment, in the book of Hebrews. So that would lead credence to the notion that it's going to be Enoch and Elijah. But as I've said before, don't get hung up on too much about which two witnesses they are. They are. We just know they're going to be two great witnesses that are going to have this awesome work and be able to be that effective to millions are going to come in and receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior during those horrible tribulation times. And their killing is going to start the process of now the Antichrist being able to come in and set himself up as God in the temple, as we see on our next item on our list, where the Antichrist desecrates the temple, setting up his image in the midst of it. He threatens death to all who refuse to worship him. Over in Daniel, we see references to the Antichrist in Daniel 7 and in Daniel 9. Let's go ahead and look at the one here in Daniel 7, in the vision that Daniel had received. He makes reference to this evil one and the timeline as well. Let's just look at one verse, because we'll return to Daniel and go into much more detail in this at a later date. But in Daniel chapter 7, all through from 15 through the end of it, he's speaking of this Antichrist and his power that had been given to him. And down there in verse 25, and he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear upon the saints of the Most High, and think to charge times and laws change. Excuse me, and think to change times and laws, and they shall be given into his hand until a time and times and the dividing of time. That's talking about the 3.5 years. Because when he comes into that point, when he kicks the Jews out of the temple and sets himself up as God, we find over in Daniel chapter 9, where we're speaking of the 70 weeks, the last week being the tribulation time, and in verse 27, Daniel chapter 9 and verse 27 reads, and he, which is the Antichrist, shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. So we know when his arrival at the beginning of the tribulation time is when he comes in as that image of one with the bow and riding a white horse and so forth. Peace, sets up a covenant with the children of Israel. And they are able to go back into the new temple that will be built there on the Temple Mount and establish the Old Testament ways of sacrifices and so forth. But at the midpoint, he goes in, he kills the two witnesses, and he takes over the temple. And that's what is speaking of the abomination of desolation spoken of there. Now look over in Matthew chapter 24. We see another reference that the Lord made in the teaching of the last days in Matthew chapter 24 and In verse 15, he speaks of this, When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel, the prophet, stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. He's speaking of verse 27 of chapter 9, is what Jesus is referring to, going back to reference the Old Testament. He says, then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. But pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day, for then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. The great tribulation gets triggered or initiates at this point when the Antichrist rises up, kills the two witnesses, sets himself up as God in the temple. That begins the time clock of the other more severe judgments that come upon the planet. We've already seen some horrible judgments of the seal judgments and the trumpet judgments that have come upon the planet, progressively worse as the tribulation goes along. The first quarter is horrible enough. The second quarter is even worse. But then when it kicks into the last half, it really gets bad. Let's look over in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. We see another reference to this event in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Let's pick it up in verse 1. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto Him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as for us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. That son of perdition is the Antichrist. And the Lord is not going to come back and set up the millennial kingdom until after all the tribulation is accomplished. All of that judgment is coming upon the planet. The day of Christ is what he's speaking of there in verse 2, as being the second coming, the second glorious coming of the Lord. Some confuse the coming and the rapture as being the second coming of Christ, but it's not. The second coming is when he comes and sets up the millennial kingdom. The Antichrist has to do all of his evil work first before the Lord's going to come back and set up the millennial kingdom at the end of the tribulation time. That son of perdition is going to be him who sets up his kingdom there at the temple himself as being God, and requiring people to worship the idol that he will build. But as we continue in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 4, speaking of the Antichrist, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. So when he gets so puffed up with his arrogance and his pride and his fulfillment of the desire of Satan and indwelling of Satan into this individual, that's when he decides to set himself up as God. We know all through the ages that Satan has tried to be a counterfeit God. He has his counterfeit trio, you might say, the Antichrist. Well, we got Satan, the Antichrist, and the false prophet, who is the counterfeit of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So he's been a counterfeiter all through his existence, all the way back to chapter 3 of Genesis. In here, he's finally receiving the honor that he wants from man, and that is to be puffed up so much that they start worshiping him there on that temple. This continues in verse 5. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things, and now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doeth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. This is referring to, in verse 7 there, the mystery of iniquity doeth already work. The Satan is already at work. He's already doing what he wants to establish himself. We see how the framework is already being put into place for all the things of the last days to be implemented. The one world monetary system, the one world religion, the Antichrist attitude that is so prevalent in the world today. It's already at work. And only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way, and then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth. We know that where it speaks of here now, until he be taken out of the way, this is the influence of all the Christians. It's talking about the power and influence of the Holy Ghost on this world. Until he gets taken out of the way, that much of the influence, which is the influence of all the many Christians that are filled with the Holy Ghost that are being raptured up. The Antichrist could not have a ability to be able to put a foothold on this planet because there are so many Christians here now that would resist that. But once all the Christians are taken out of the scene at the rapture, then he can step in and set himself up as this Antichrist. And verse 8, and then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming at the end of the tribulation time. So he's cautioning them. He's letting them know, don't worry about it. Don't be overly concerned about it, because those that trust in the Lord are not going to be here through the tribulation time. Only those that receive the Lord after the beginning of the tribulation time will be going through those terrible things, and they will be protected from most of it. Many of them will not be protected completely, because a lot of them are going to lose their heads. They'll go through some horrible persecution. But there will be many that will be protected, that will be sealed, that will go up to Megiddo, to Petra, and be protected. This next item we have here, the Antichrist breaks his covenant with Israel 3.5 years into the tribulation, Daniel 9:27, which we read. That midpoint is what we're speaking of here that applies to our item 10, 11, and 12. That breaking of the covenant is when he goes in, he kills the two witnesses, and he kicks Israel out of the temple. He kicks the Jews out from practicing the Old Testament ways there at the temple, and sets himself up as God. And that takes care of item number 12 there. We've already covered that. Now we see the uprising of more power given to the false prophet at this time. And we'll look over in Revelation chapter 13. The false prophet arises, and the mark of the beast is required of the entire world in order to buy, sell, or work. This monetary, one world monetary system, and this requirement of someone to have a mark of the beast can easily be seen capable of being implemented in today's economy and in today's monetary system around the world and with today's technology. We have a vast movement. Europe is already gathered together. Many of the nations of Europe have come together a few years ago and come together with a common monetary system, the euro. And the last vice president that we had, Biden, he wanted and pushed and tried to implement the Amero here in the U.S., but that got shut down very quickly, which would have been equal to the euro, and that would step us another step closer to the one world monetary system. And if you have everyone using the same monetary system, it is easier for some world leader to control all of the economy. And We see here in Revelation chapter 13, let's pick it up in verse 11. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. The dragon, of course, being Satan. And he exercised all the power of the first beast, which was the Antichrist, or is the Antichrist, before him, and causeth the earth and them that dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. At the midpoint of the tribulation, we know, we've already studied, that an attempt to assassinate the Antichrist, it'll be as dead, and Satan will indwell him and heal him. Verse 13, and he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. In other words, 666. So this mark, this has been thought to be many things through the ages. One of them in recent years was, it was thought to be the barcode. When they came out with the barcode, that you would have a barcode tattoo put upon your wrist or on your forehead, and that would be scanned. And with the computer technology of today, we understand it'd be very easy to implant a device the size of a grain of rice under the skin, which would give you a lot of information on that. And they're trying to implement that in many ways already. And it is already in use in some areas. Some hospitals are already implanting these in children shortly after their birth as a tracking and as an identification of that child. It's been used in animals for several years already to identify an animal. It's planted in the neck, and that can be scanned, and that scan reveals the information. It can be put on that tiny little microchip under the skin, and it has the information of the owner and so forth, contact information on that. With today's technology, a vast amount of information could be put on that little grain of rice-size microchip that could be planted under the skin. And with that, you would be able to scan that, and on that you'd have all your financial records, your work record, everything on that, and it'd be very simple. If it wasn't for the fact that it had to do with the Antichrist, it wouldn't be a bad thing to have. Because imagine, you wouldn't have to have cash, you wouldn't have to have credit cards, you wouldn't have to have a checking account, you wouldn't have to have all those many, many records you have to keep up with. It would all be controlled on a single chip held in your hand or implanted on your forehead. When you walk into a building, it would scan that. It would know who you are. It would know all the information about you. If you went to the grocery store, you go in, you just had to walk in the door, and you pick up everything that you want, and then you go right on out, and it goes right to your account. Make things very simple for people. And that's why it'll be so appealing, and people will welcome it in. If it wasn't for as many people who have a knowledge of the mark of the beast, it would probably be very easy to implement that very system today. A lot of folks would line up for that, to make how convenient that would be, how easy that would be to keep track of all your monetary records, your work records, your medical records, everything on a tiny little microchip that could be planted under your skin or on your forehead. You already have these credit cards that have that tiny little gold square on them now. And that tiny little gold square is what's important on that credit card. That contains more information than you can imagine on that card. And that card can be detected as you walk into a room. There are devices already used in some security facilities that you walk into the door. They know who you are, and they can track you throughout the entire building because of what you have in your wallet. Or in some places, it's already been implanted in the worker's skin, just like talking about this, implanted already in there. They scan as they come in. That's the security to let them in or out of the building. So it's very easy to see how this mark will be implemented. With today's technology, it'd be very easy to put this in play very quickly. And it would really simplify the ability to control people economically and with their medical as well. Everything could be contained on that tiny little microchip that would be implanted in the wrist or in the foreheads. And this also has other meaning beyond the physical device that will be put in or on an individual. As speaking of right hand and forehead, it's speaking of their work and of their thoughts. So this controlling devotion given over to the Antichrist is also what it speaks of. So this is twofold prophecy coming true here, that they will have that physical device in them or on them that will identify them, but also in their devotion, their efforts, their work, and their belief, their trust, and their faith in the Antichrist, as illustrated in their work, being their hand, their forehead, being in what they behave and what they believe and trust. So we can see how that can be all implemented and fulfilled there. So this beginning of that is going to be in place at the midpoint of the tribulation time. And as we see, it is very possible that that could be put into play today with today's technology. So when you know about these things and you see how these technologies are coming, it gives you more and more the ability to be able to open doorways and start talking to people and letting them know that these things are very possible. Things, but when they were written, they were unbelievable. Like, how could that happen back in those days? Just like the ability of this beast to have life, as it says in verse 15, and he had power to give life unto the image of the beast. And the ability to be able to have a mechanical device move and speak and so forth with the automatronics, or what do they call that? Robotics. With the robotics that they have today, the ability to be able to move and speak and so forth, and the materials that they can use, it can look like something is alive, is all available. It's all right now. We have that technology to implement all this, so we know that it is very possible to be fulfilled in the way it's prophesied. That's all the time we have. We'll get back into this next time, but let's pray. Lord Jesus, Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word. It is so powerful. Even these scary prophecies of the last days, help us to have the desire to learn about them so we can point out things to the world, draw their attention in, let them know that these things are possible, that these things are going to be fulfilled. Let them be ready. Let them know that they have a trust in God that will bring them out of all that if they just believe in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Help each and every one of us be doing that very thing this week, proclaiming you as our Lord and Savior, so that more can come in and know you before it is everlasting too late. Thank you so much for the opportunity. As we pray in Jesus' precious holy name, amen.